Hello, my friends, and welcome to the Farm Machinery Digest Road Test Podcast. I am your host, Ray Bohax, the Hot Rod Farmer from the Idle Chatter Podcast. And today, I am going to be bringing you a road test on a 2020 Corvette, Chevrolet Corvette, America's sports car. And you may say to yourself, well, you know, what does that have to do with farming? Well, absolutely nothing. But farmers have a life also. And a lot of farmers are into cars. And I am a farmer, a hot rod farmer, and I'm definitely into anything that has an engine. And how can you be a red-blooded American and not love a Corvette? So the question needs to be asked is, can you love a 2020 Corvette? And also, can it live on a farm? And that's what we're going to do today. And this show, and this show is also going to be supported by an article on my website, farmmachinerydigest.com. And it's going to be under the Learn tab and then under the sub tab called Getting to Know. And it'll be Getting to Know the 2020 Corvette. But what we're going to talk about here in the road test, you know, the Corvette, the new Corvette, which is called a C8. And for those that may not be familiar or quasi-familiar, is that C stands for Corvette, and within the language of General Motors, I would say that they identified the Corvette, so there was a C1, C2, C3, C4, C5, C6, C7, and then thus C8. I didn't really have to count that all up for you, but I did anyway. And what that means is it's a total new iteration, a completely redesign of the car. So a C2 is completely different car other than being called a Corvette than a C3, and a C7 is completely different than a C8. So this is the eighth iteration of the Corvette, the eighth redesign, complete redesign since 1953 when it first came out with a six-cylinder engine in it. And then eventually in the 1963 became the Corvette Stingray. And for the C8 iteration, they've brought back the name, they brought back the name Stingray. It doesn't say Stingray on it, but there is a Stingray on the back of the car on by the trunklet. So anyway, the thing is that if you are a hot rod farmer, if you're a car guy, you've probably read so much about the Corvette, about it, its capabilities, what it costs, its performance, and all those different things, how it compares to other supercars in the world. But no one has done a real life driving article or podcast. So that is what I'm doing, because I wanted to test the Corvette in a way that a farmer or one of my listeners, farmer person in agriculture, horticulture, that would use this car. So my road test today is going to be, or my road test podcast is going to be, I used that Corvette as an everyday car when I had it. I didn't take it to the race course. I didn't take it to the drag strip. I didn't do anything. I'm not going to say I never exercised it. Let's leave it at that in case General Motors is listening. And she does exercise very, 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 very well. I could tell you that. But I wanted to use it as a real car. So that if you bought a Corvette and you wanted to use it as a second car, third car, what have you, or you decided to buy a Corvette, use something that you've always wanted, and you say, hey, well, the farm did pretty well this year. And, you know, contrary to what people think, divest for a second, is that there are people in agriculture that are doing very, very well. So if you put on the news, it's like everybody's going bankrupt. And sadly, there are some people doing that, but there are some people that are doing very well, like in any business. And so the thing is that you may be a Corvette person, you may never had a Corvette before. So that maybe this is your first considering one. So what I think that it's important for me to represent to you, my audience, if you were to invest in this vehicle, and it's the base price starts at $65,000. The one that I had was a fully loaded one. It was about, well, not fully loaded, it was almost fully loaded. It was just under $90,000 on the window sticker. But I'm just going to clear my throat for a second. Okay, I'm sorry. I'm back, but about 90,000. But the thing is that, can you use this car? Can you go to the feed store with it? Can you go pick up crops? Two and a half gallon jugs of crop protection with it. Can you, go to church with it? Can you go to a growers meeting with it? Can it live on a dirt road? Can it live on a dark road? Are the headlights any good? So that's what it's all about today. But what I think I need to do is first back up and tell you that I have a long history with Corvette. And what I mean by that, I never physically owned one. When I had my shop, Precise Automotive and Marine, I used to work on a lot of Corvettes, and I was very familiar with Corvettes, and I did quite a bit of business within the Corvette community, modifying them and also just doing maintenance and service work on them. But a lot of them were modified, and then I would maintain those cars afterwards, and they were modified to different levels. And the thing is that I don't want to say I had a love-hate relationship with a Corvette, because that would probably be a little bit too aggressive for me to say it that way. But I always felt that a Corvette, as much as I like them, as much as I love them, as much as I'm proud that they're America's only true sports car, and of course a sports car by definition in the auto industry needs to be two seats. So a Mustang, people call a sports car, love the Mustang, but by definition it's not a sports car because it has a back seat. A Camaro is not a sports car. A Challenger is not a sports car. It has to be a two-seater to fall under the guise of a sports car. But the Corvette always was, to me, a car that you had to look, you had to look the other way for a lot of different things to truly, truly embrace it. It was hard to get in and out of. The visibility was poor. It didn't have much trunk space in it. Lots of times, especially the earlier ones, the ride was less than compliant. Let's put it that way. I mean, you rode in for an hour or two, you were happy to get out of it. Lots of times, the driving position may have been good for the racetrack, but it really wasn't good to drive every day. So it was a compromised vehicle in my estimation. And there are people who, and maybe even listeners, that have had Corvettes over the years and drove them every day and used them or used them as a real, when I say a real vehicle, what I mean by a real vehicle is a no excuses vehicle. That's a term that I use, that you could hand the keys to someone, there's no excuses. Well, you can't use it in the snow. You can't do this. You can't do this. You can't do that. So it's always a real everyday car. And like I said, people did it, but it was full of compromises, and you had to kind of really just like close your eyes and put blinders on things and to really embrace that and say, well, okay, I know it really doesn't ride well, and I know it's this and I know it's that, but I love the way it looks, or I love the performance of it. So when I went to make arrangements to have a C8 to road test, and General Motors was very gracious to me, because of the Chinese virus, that the production was shut down and everything was shut down like everything else. So normally they give you the car for a week, but because everything is now relaxed and the journalists need to get into the cars, they were only giving you the Corvette for 4 days instead of the 7 days, so they could get more people with seat time. And I certainly understand that, but they were very, very gracious to allow me to have it for a weekend. So it was Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. Friday, Saturday, Sunday, and bring it back on Monday. So that was what, so I had it 4 complete days. My wife and I took it for a ride out into Pennsylvania, our farm is in New Jersey. We took it on about 130-mile trip one way, and then I drove it around quite a bit in different driving scenarios, drove it in the rain, picked it up in the rain, as a matter of fact, drove it in heavy rain, drove it in fog, drove it on dry weather. So I put just about 650 miles on it over the course of the weekend. But importantly for you, the audience, with an eclectic type of driving. So it was a true abbreviated road test, but I drove it enough under enough certain different varied conditions that I feel very confident that I have a great feel for the car. So let me tell you about the one that I had. It was red. How can you not love a red Corvette, right? So it was a red Corvette with a black leather upholstery, and had what they called the 3LT package, which was an upgraded package. It had bigger tires. It had what they call summer tires on it. Didn't have, because believe it or not, this is the first Corvette, the C8, to come with the base car comes with all-weather tires. And getting back to what I was just saying a minute ago about being an everyday car, that General Motors designed this car in its base trim package to be shipped with all-weather tires. So that means that they are, that they know that this car is not a compromised car. It's a real, has the potential to be your everyday driver. And that's important. And that's important to my audience, because if you're going to make that type of investment in the car, $65,000 on up, you need to be able to use it, not just use it on Sunday days. So that's very, very important for me to establish here. So when I went to go pick up the car at FMI, which is about 70 miles from the farm, I met Pierre Cantor there, and he handed over the keys. And I was originally supposed to get a charcoal-colored one. I think it was a charcoal grayish type of car, but for some reason, which is not unusual, got swapped at the last second. And then I got a red Corvette. And let me tell you, when I pulled into that parking lot with my Ranger pickup truck to pick up that Corvette, she is stunning. I mean, in red, the C8 is stunning. It has a quarter panel that looks akin to an F40 Ferrari. The car just like you just, I came around the bend, I said, wow. It had polished aluminum wheels. It just dropped dead gorgeous. Then while I was waiting for Pierre to come out to give me the keys, actually the keys were there, but I didn't know it. So they were, he had the keys there, but they were hidden, which I won't tell you where they are, but they were hidden. So I had to wait for him to come out. I was looking at the car and looking it over. And the first thing that comes to my mind when I was looking at that is the build quality of this car. Now, if you remember a while back, I did a road test on a Chevy Silverado High Country, and that also had phenomenal build quality. But I was running my, it was raining when I got there, which was a shame because the car was so beautifully clean, is that I was running my hand over the body lines, feeling the gaps between the body panels, feeling the gap between the hood, the fenders, the doors, all the trim. World class build quality. Fantastic. I'll put that Corvette up against any car in the world, 4 or 5 times the price. And fantastic build quality. And it's very, very evident. Now, when you first look into the window of the Corvette, I have to say it's a little bit intimidating. It's cockpit style seating, which would be a sports car. But even though I'm going to get ahead of myself, but even though it's cockpit style seating, it is so comfortable. I mean, this is not, there's no excuses with this car. You don't have to make any excuses for it. It's a little bit awkward to get in and out, not terribly awkward to get in and out. It's a little bit awkward. It's low slung, but once you're in there, the seats are fantastic. There's a lot of room, but to your right on the console is a whole series of buttons that look like a fighter plane. So I said, oh my God, you know, here it is. It's raining. You got all these buttons over here. And then I'm not even gonna know how to drive this car. And what I usually do with a car, not usually, what I'll do when I pick up a car from FMI is that they have a big, pretty large parking lot there. And I'll drive around the parking lot 2 or 3 times, step on the brakes, step on the gas, adjust my mirrors. Because out of respect to being loaned a car from General Motors, I don't want to get out onto the road and not be familiar with anything whatsoever. So I want to familiarize myself. So I said to them, when I looked at all those buttons, I said, I'll be here for like 4 days riding around trying to figure out the buttons. But I had remembered that my friend Rob Ida, and if you go to the On the Road podcast on my website, I did an episode, the first episode of that show with Rob Ida. He bought a C8 back in April. I didn't get a chance to see it because everything was shut down, but he bought a C8 back in April. And I remember him telling me, I said to him, Rob, do you like your those buttons? He says, don't worry about it. They're redundant to the controls on the dashboards. You don't even have to play with them. So that made me feel comfortable because I remembered that. So I got in the car, started it up, this push button start, the thing starts and jumps with a growl. Now remember, this is the first mid-engine Corvette, so it's the first ever mid-engine Corvette. So the engine is sitting right behind you, and to keep it, and just so everyone knows what the true definition of mid-engine is, that the engine has to be forward of the rear axle. So let's say like a Porsche 911 or a Volkswagen Bug is not a mid-engine, that's a rear engine, because the engine is to the rear of the axle, and then the transmission is to the front of it. So the Corvette is a true mid-engine car where the engine is to the front of the rear axle, so it's actually in the middle right behind the passenger compartment. All right, so I get in the car, I look it over, start up the thing, it has a real growl when she starts, and the way they have the calibration is that it flares the idle up, so it's and then what we call in engineering decay out to a nice quiet smooth idle. So what I did is I got in the car. It's got all different driving modes. I said to Pierre, is this thing is defaulted to a normal mode? He says, yep, you don't have to worry about anything. It's defaulted to a normal mode. I said, well, that's how I'm going to drive it, because that is how my audience would use this car. You're jumping in the vet to go to a grower's meeting. You're jumping in a vet to go see your agronomist. You're jumping in the vet to go to town. You're not going to be playing with modes. You're going to be driving it in a normal mode. You're going to use it as a means of transportation. So I drove around the parking lot once, drove around twice, and says, you know, I feel really comfortable in this car. The line of sight through the windshield is fantastic. It's a panoramic windshield, and the line of sight right in front of the hood of the car is unbelievable. It's better than a lot of pickup trucks. So you could see the road right in front of you. It's not where you're off to a distance and the first 10 or 15 feet of the road is blocked that you can't see it. So I drove around. I said, I really feel comfortable in this car so far. My comfort levels is, my fear is, and I'm using the word fear. It's not really, I'm a car guy. I'm not afraid of it, but you know, it's a $90,000 car. I want to respect it. And so I said, well, let me get out in the road. Well, I went out through there. They're in a beautiful office complex there. I worked my way out to the main road to get onto the highway to come back to the farm. And I looked at the odometer because I reset the trip odometer when I picked it up. Actually, I think it was reset. I just reset it again. But so now I had traveled 1.2 miles in this car. And I'm really starting to feel comfortable in it. Now, mind you, let's stop right there. This is a car, for all you hot rod farmers, has 186 mile an hour top speed, runs the quarter mile in 11.2 seconds at 122 miles per hour. Right, years ago, that was a dedicated drag race car, right? Pulls over 1G on the skid pad and has 500 horsepower. Well, it's 495, but I think that's a little bit of a fib. I think it's way over 500 horsepower. But anyway, so it's, for all intents and purposes, it's a 500 horsepower car. It has an 8-speed dual clutch transmission, so it drives like an automatic. You drive it like an automatic, but it's really what's called a dual clutch transmission, right? It has all of this technology, and I'm in it for 1.2 miles, and I feel comfortable. That is an engineering feat, because, and kudos to the people at General Motors and the Corvette team, because in engineering, one of the things that you want to do is you want to make the technology invisible to the driver. So you don't want it to be overly complicated. You don't need for them to know what's going on in the dual clutch transmission. They need to know to put it in gear and go with it. Now, the gear selector is a little bit, I'm not going to use the word quirky, takes a little bit getting used to. It's buttons, not like an old 1960 Chrysler. It's a series of three, I believe it was three buttons, if I remember correctly. So it's a little bit different, but after about a day or two, you really get used to it. The only thing that I didn't like about the buttons for the shift selector, I'd rather have an old-fashioned type of shifter, is that if you're in a hurry, let's say you're backing out of somebody's driveway and there's a car coming and you want to, you know, if it was a shifter, you could just take it and push it right into reverse or drive, is that you have to go fumble for this button. So that's something I didn't really care for, but it definitely wasn't a deal breaker. So I'm on the road with this car. It's drizzling. It's raining a little bit, and even with the with the Michelin, what they call summer tires, performance tires, that the roadability of the car felt very, 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 very secure. Hit some heavy showers, very, very, very secure with it. By the time I got 10 miles under the belt, I was really starting to feel comfortable. I'm moving the seat around. I'm doing this. I'm doing this. By the time I got to have 30 miles on it, I said to myself, I could put my wife in here. I could put Charlotte in here, show her how to move the shift lever, and she could drive this car. And she could go to town with it, and she could go shopping with it, and go to the nail salon with it, or whatever. And she could drive this car. And like I said, and why I'm emphasizing that is that if you are looking to buy a Corvette as a second vehicle, the way this car drives is that you will be that you anyone in your family can use it. And it doesn't come with a bunch of warning labels to it or stipulations, or that it's awkward to drive. And that's why I'm bringing it up, because if you want to use it, you can drive this car. When I mean drive this car, you just drive it. You forget about it. By the time I got it's back 67 miles to the farm, I think 60, depends which way I go, just under 70 miles. I felt like I drove this car for 10 years. I moved the seat around. The seating position is wonderful. The windshield has a big panoramic windshield, which is something that you didn't have in the old Corvettes. The old Corvettes, you always felt like you were in a cave. I mean, you knew that the pillars were there. You knew everything. Now, keep in mind, though, because of the mid-engine, if you turn to your right to twist your head around to try to see let's say, for instance, if you're merging onto a highway to try to look if a car is coming, because the engine is there and there's a pillar there, you cannot basically look and see anything. You have to use the side mirrors and the rear view mirror. Now, the side mirrors are excellent. They're large. They have a great view. They give you enough of a wide angle. They're infinitely adjustable, and they give you a lot of security. The rear window, if you look at the body of the car, the rear window seems very small, but with the rear view mirror and through the window, you don't feel challenged with it. You feel that you have a command of what is behind you. You know what's behind you. So that's very, very important. So the thing is that I'm taking this car back to the farm. By the time I get back to the farm, it feels like an old friend. And the ride quality on it is phenomenal. I mean, now granted, it's not going to ride like a Cadillac or a Lincoln, but to tell you the truth, it rode better than the Chevy Silverado High Country with no load in it. So the dampening on it was wonderful. The brakes obviously are excellent. The acceleration, well, it's 500 horsepower. It's 11 second car and a quarter mile. Let's just leave it at that. All right. So the thing is that it is a car, and I keep coming back to it, it's a car that's like been like no other Corvette before. And it really is a world class, and I hate to use a term, it's a world class touring car. And the other things that really surprised me was the quietness of the interior. Even with the large mirrors, no wind noise, even with the performance tires, minimal to no road noise, and the engine is sitting right behind you, and you don't even hear it. And when you jump on it, you hear it. So basically, you could hear the engine when you're supposed to hear it, and when you're not supposed to hear it, it's quiet as a church mouse. The other thing that I was very concerned with, because if you look at it, it's got some kind of funky looking headlights up front, and I wanted to see, living on a farm, living out in the country where my audience is, a lot of these cars, the headlights stink on them. The Corvette had the best, I'd have to honestly say, if it was not the best headlights that I ever experienced in my driving career, it's right up there with them. I could not believe when I left to go to the truck stop in the morning for coffee at 5 o'clock in the morning, it was dark, coming out onto my driveway onto Cat Swamp Road, onto Route 517, onto Route 80, the headlights are phenomenal, and they give you a very broad peripheral range, and that's very important living out in the country. You're looking for deer we're looking, I mean, it's rut season. So I'm looking for deer all the time, not just rut running out with, you know, we have a lot of bear activity here, especially this time of year. I'm looking for bears. So the thing is that that peripheral vision, the peripheral illumination, I should say, and then the range of the headlights on low beam, phenomenal. So it, like I said, some, if not the best, some of the, it's up there with the second best. Compared to, and you have the large windshield, you have an excellent seating position, large windshield, fantastic headlights. Is that this is a car that you could very easily use on a country road, because on some of the, especially like the fourth generation Corvette, the C4 with the pop up headlights, that thing stank. I mean, at night, I mean, it really was. I mean, it was. He ran with the high beams most of the time. There was no peripheral illumination, and it really was, left a lot to be desired. Another thing that really impressed me, in no random, in no specific order, was the turning circle. And I could make a U-turn with this car. Now, you have to keep in mind that when you have very wide tires on a car, is that usually the turning circle gets exaggerated and gets extended, because the tires would hit the frame or hit the body, what have you. And I don't know what they did under there, because I didn't have the opportunity, only with the vet in my possession for 4 days, to go to my friend's shop and put it up in the air. But I can make a U-turn on a two-lane country road, without going into the shoulder, which amazed me. I took somebody for a ride, and I said, let me turn around over here. Then I turned around, I'm busy talking, and, you know, true to form as that car is, it just did what it was supposed to do and made a U-turn. And I said to myself, I can't believe it. I just made a U-turn on this country road. And with no problem, not having to K-turn it. So that is another thing that's extremely, extremely important, that you're out in the road, you got to make a U-turn, something happens, you got to turn around, what have you, you're backing out of somebody's driveway, their lane on their farm, very, very important. So the other thing that I want to bring up is that the controls. Now, I'm not one for these. It's got a quasi-digital dashboard. This car had heads-up display in the windshield. And actually, this heads-up I liked. The one in the Chevy Silverado High Country, I hated. But this one I liked. The dashboard is reconfigurable. I did not bother to do that. I wanted to enjoy the car. The way it was configured was fine. Gave me everything I needed. Coolant temperature, oil temperature, oil pressure. You know, voltage, it was fine. I was very happy with the configuration. I probably wouldn't have changed it if I took the time to. I'm not interested in putting a lap timer in. We're using this car like nobody's done an article on. We're using it or coverage on. We're using it as an everyday car. The heater controls and radio controls are in a touch screen, but then again, I love the Silverado. It was a great truck, but the High Country was too awkward with all its digitized controls and touchscreen controls. The Corvette is much, much more intuitive to use. You still have to take your eyes off the road, which with knobs you don't have to, which is a problem, which is an issue for me. But the radio had an old-fashioned volume knob, which I loved. And I have to say, the car is so high class, but the volume knob looks cheap. It's not that it looks cheap because it's a volume knob on a touchscreen radio, but just the knob that they have does definitely look cheap. So I have to knock it for something, right? But the controls are easy to use. They're much more intuitive than many of them, and with the heater, air conditioner, the direction of the air, which way the air is ducting, the radio, quite intuitive, and probably one of the best touch screens I have ever experienced, because some of these touch screens are a nightmare. I mean, it's like five layers of stuff to turn the heater on and then to change the temperature. Now, the other thing jumping around is that this is an engine, a variable displacement engine, and what it does, it shuts off some cylinders, so it toggles between being a V4 and a V8. And then on the dashboard, and I believe it was on the tachometer, lights up and it tells you whether it's in V4 or V8. Well, if you drive it going down the road, you could go down the road at over the legal speed limit. We'll just leave it at that. And if the load is not too great, it goes back. It'll go into a four-cylinder mode, totally invisible to you driving the car. Totally invisible to you. You tip in the throttle a little bit. You want to get around somebody, jumps into V8 cylinder mode. You don't even know it other than the push on your chest as the engine, the acceleration pushes you back into the seat. So phenomenal and wonderful calibration. And between the transmission, the integration of the transmission, the 500 horsepower engine, and the cylinder, and then the variable displacement engine, totally invisible. Couldn't knock it if I wanted to. Perfect. Now, when we took this out, my wife and I took it out for a ride out to Pennsylvania, we got, on the way out, we got 35.8 miles per gallon, 35.8, going about 70 miles an hour, which is the legal speed limit here. And coming home, we got 35.4 miles per gallon. So that worked out to 35.6 both ways. Now out, so here it is again, a 500 horsepower car, 11.2 second quarter mile, 122 mile an hour trap speed, 186 mile an hour top speed, 36 miles per gallon. I mean, how can you beat it, right? I mean, unbelievable. Now, a lot of people knock this car because they said because it's mid-engine, there's a small trunk in the front, and it has a hatchback, which you actually open up that hatchback to service the engine, and the serviceability of the engine doesn't look good at all. So we're not even going to go there because I didn't have the opportunity to take anything apart other than look at it. And that looks like it's a little bit rough and you have to probably do everything from underneath. But there's a well in the back for you for storage, for luggage. And there's a little well in the front and for storage. So it has two trunks. It has a trunk in the front, trunk in the back. And there's a store that called Burkholder's. It's like a farmer's, I don't know what the, I'm not going to call it a farmer's market, but whatever it is, but they actually do have a farm and they make excellent sandwiches there and salads and they sell fruits and vegetables. And my wife always likes to go there and we either get a salad or a sandwich when we go out there, and my wife buys a lot of produce there. So I'm standing out in the parking lot with the vet. The vet is a magnet. Let me just tell you. I just stood off to the side. People are coming there, taking pictures of it, asking about the car. And my wife comes out with like three bags full of fruits and vegetables. So I said, all right, let's see where we're going to put this. Well, let me tell you something. That front compartment holds a lot more than you would think when you first look at it. And the rear compartment is very easily for you to travel and put soft-sided luggage in there. I mean, if you're going to put a hard side, a firm-sided American Tourister, it'll fit. But if you have soft-sided luggage, you'd be surprised. You could take that. You'd have enough luggage for two people to go cross-country, enough luggage space for two people to go cross-country in that car within reason. Are you taking folding chairs? No. Are you taking some other things like that? No. But as far as luggage is concerned, between the front and the back. So I was very happy that we were able to test that. And the thing is, the car was so beautiful. I originally had intentions of going to the feed mill and bringing home some feed for my chickens. Right, but I know that the bags will fit, that I could probably put 200 pounds of feed in the back of the Corvette, four 50-pound bags in the back of the Corvette, but I did not do it because the interior, the rug was, the carpeting was so nice in there, and it was damp weather, and I didn't want to get it dirty, but I eyeballed it, and I saw that I could put, I feel very confident I could put two on each side in the back, and two, and so I could have four bags, I could carry 200 pounds of feed in the back of that Corvette. And then also, I went and I got some jugs, 2.5-gallon jugs of crop protection stuff, of glyphosate, of Acuron. I wipe those off, put them in the back, and I could transport those. So the important thing I'm trying to say to you is that, well, I don't buy 2.5 gallon jugs or something, Ray. I say I buy 275 gallon totes. Well, obviously, you're not putting it in there. But the point that I want to drive home here is that this Corvette is a no compromises, no excuse car, because you have storage space in it. You have excellent ride quality. You have quietness. You have an excellent seating position. You have a comfortable seat, panoramic windshield, great fuel economy. I said quietness, turning circle, headlights. What more can I say? The thing is fantastic. And, it may sound like this is a gushing report. And it is a gushing report, because that Corvette is not only the best Corvette ever made by far, but that Corvette is truly, truly a source of American pride, and is the envy of the world. Because at that price point of $65,000 for a base car, you cannot touch anything from Germany, anything from Japan, anything from Italy, any country in the world to give you that performance, that fuel economy, that build quality, that turning circle, those headlights, as you would in this C8 Corvette. So now my question to you is that if you are in the market for a Corvette, will you consider this? And you'd be doing yourself an injustice if you did not. And I just want to thank Chevrolet for allowing me to have that car, to experience it. And I want to thank you for listening to this show and for in allowing me to share my enthusiasm for the 2020 C8 Corvette. And all I could say to Chevrolet is well done. Well done, my friend, and you make me proud. This is American pride. This is American engineering, American quality at its finest. So you have a great day, and go check out that Corvette. Thank you so much for listening. Bye-bye.